May have noticed something special about this Sunday. For one, we have our very favorite Reverend Mr. Ryan Martire, our transitional deacon with us, who's heading back to seminary for his last year. He'll be ordained in June to the Holy Priesthood. We send our prayers with you as you head back to seminary shortly. And you probably also noticed Father's wearing white, and so is the deacon. And we're in the middle of ordinary time, which is normally purple, green, pink, green. So something is happening today, and our mother, the church, is saying, put on a different color, send them a little message that something special is going on. And you may have picked it up from the readings, from the prayer. We're celebrating today the transfiguration of the Lord. Something so significant, it falls on August 6th every year, and when the August 6th falls on a Sunday, the church sets aside the normal cycle of readings and says, let's talk about this. Children, you need to hear this again, in case you've forgotten. So there's something in this Feast of the Transfiguration for us. What is it? I want to raise just two questions for you as we begin. First, what is the Transfiguration? Let's talk briefly about that. And secondly, and perhaps more importantly, what the heck does it have to do with me? Otherwise, I'm up here telling a story of something that happened 2,000 years ago. Whoop-dee-doo, Father. Hurry up so we can get to brunch. What does it have to do with me? Is that just a nice story? Well, first, the Transfiguration. What is it? You all should know this. You should be able to answer those questions. On what mountain did the Transfiguration take place? Mount Rushmore. Very good. And to whom did Jesus appear? The famous three, Mo, Larry, and Curly. Good. We are Bible Catholics. On Mount Rushmore, the three stooges were there. On Mount Tabor, Jesus, something extraordinary happened in him. He revealed who he was, his extraordinary power to Peter, James, and John, those famous three. And how do they respond? First of all, Moses and Elijah appear to them like, ooh, this is cool. Let's build some tents. Let's stay here. What's the significance? There's Jesus, Moses, Elijah. Moses represents the law, Elijah the prophets. To them at that time, that meant God, 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 God. Holy smokes, he's here. And they were having a good time. Let's build some tents. Let's have a little party. And then cloud covers them, and they hear a voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. I don't know how God the Father sounds, but let's. And then what did they do? Fell on their faces. They experienced the presence and the power of God in it, and they soiled themselves. That's not in the gospel, but I could just imagine. Whatever it was, they fell flat on their faces. They fell prostrate because they had never been or even thought it was conceivable to be in the exact presence of the all-powerful and terrifying God. And Jesus had to go over, and it's a nice little detail here. And he had, hey, guys, it's okay. He had to touch them. You can get up. You can look at me. This experience of God, this experience of absolute, unbridled power is not for your destruction. Here I am, he said. I'm not here to destroy you. Get up. Look at me. And even better, don't just look at me. Talk to me. And Peter, James, and John experienced in that moment that they could have a living relationship with the awesome, all-powerful, sometimes terrifying, if we don't do things correctly, wonderful God, creator of the universe. And Jesus said, you're going to need this experience because pretty soon you're going to see me hanging on a cross and you're going to think all is lost. It was all a myth. It was all a joke. It was all made up. We bought the lie. And you're going to be terrified and weak. And you're going to turn away from me. So the good news is, right? So how well did Peter do? when just shortly thereafter, after having this extraordinary experience of the real presence of God himself, on that Good Friday, how did Peter do? Fail! He still failed. Okay, that's good news for us, folks. That means that even after having these experiences, hopefully, of the living and all-powerful God, we might not get it right. Jesus said, that's okay. I'm going to come back. I'm coming for you. And then when he appeared to him on the shore, at the end of the Gospel of John, he says, there he is. And then Peter got it right. And he jumped out of the boat and said, I'm coming to you. So the transfiguration is when Peter, James, and John realized that they were talking directly to God. And it blew their minds. And it should blow ours too. There it is. What the heck does it have to do with me? Same thing. Should blow my mind. Should be so unbelievable that the devil's going to sneak in and say, you can't really talk to God. He doesn't really listen to you. He doesn't have time for you. You're not doing it right. Get behind me, Satan. Should blow our minds that we can have a conversation with the all-powerful, most wonderful, and glorious God whose name is Jesus Christ. And that we do. So part two, what the heck does it have to do with me? Everything! Absolutely everything. I have access to all the power in the universe. Might not help me pay off the capital campaign right now, but I'm begging him. But anything that I truly need, I have access. As Peter, James, and John stood before the majesty, were terrified because it was so overwhelmingly powerful. By the way, so was Mary. Remember, Angel Gabriel? Don't be afraid, Mary. I'm not going to harm you. Okay. What I'm going to do is a little crazy, but I'm not going to harm you. Okay. What it has to do with me is the fact, and you, is that we can have it. We have a direct access to all the power and the goodness and the beauty and the wonder. And we hear God's voice. We hear it. You do. I do. Today's homework, as you head off to the sandbars of the Missouri River or wherever you're headed, brunch, Butterhorn or something. Am I making you hungry yet? Good. It's just to reflect on, when have I heard his voice? When have I heard the voice of the living God? When have I experienced his power? Because you have. But I don't think we spend enough time looking for it and talking about it. Because when we do, crazy stuff starts happening. But we can be distracted by where he's not powerful in my life because I don't let him. Where he's not working in the world because the world doesn't let him. When I don't hear his voice because the devil tells me that I don't hear his voice and I'm not worthy of it. When have I heard his voice and seen his power? That's what it has to do with me and you today, the transfiguration. Being in the presence of the all-powerful, all-wonderful God, Jesus himself. And it may come in a mountaintop. I've shared this before, but I have to share it again because I need to remind myself of it for the days that are difficult. When I was leading pilgrims through Lourdes in France, where Mary appeared to little Bernadette, 4'6" powerhouse of a malnourished, poorest girl you can imagine, grew up in an old jail, because that's all the family could afford, where Mary appeared to her and brought a message of prayer and penance, as she always does, but a message of healing, where tens of thousands of human beings have been healed of their physical ailments through the intercession of a little 4'6" girl and the Mother of God. As I was leading them there, I stopped on one side and sent the pilgrims on to go see Mary at the cave. And I was a year out from my diaconate ordination, which you just received, and wasn't really wondering, looking for much, just kind of going along the way. And I heard this voice. And it was the voice of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she said, don't worry, you're going to be his priest. Not okay. Here I am. But why? I didn't get it. And I'm like, fine, that's great. Wasn't really even asking at the time. I was just going along with it. Because over the course of the next 9 months, there was a fury of hellfire unleashed upon me. And I needed to hear that voice, because when it got dark and the devil came after me and started sowing seeds of doubt and despair and darkness and whatever, I needed a place that I could go back to and say, no, Mary, I heard your voice. You're more beautiful. That was more peaceful, which is how we know God's speaking to us, by the way. Somebody asked me after Mass yesterday, how do you know, Father? Peace. Sorry if I woke you up. Peace. The experience of peace in my heart. That's how you know if it's consternation, indigestion, that's the devil. That's what he does. It's like a really spicy burrito. He wreaks his havoc. No, peace. That's how I know I'm experiencing and listening to the voice of the living God. So I experienced peace. And then it came. Onslaught, as the devil does. And Jesus lets him. Why? To fortify us. Remember that. You experienced me. Don't doubt. Go there. Go back there. Stay there. Peace. Good. That was a mountaintop, and it was wonderful. We may also hear the voice of the living God in our Death Valley experiences. I've shared this too, but I'm going to share it again. In the darkest day, which had come before all that, when I had broken my ankle, absolutely destroyed it on a soccer field in Rome, 10 days in the hospital, 2 surgeries, absolute darkness, 2 months, sitting in my little cell of a seminary room, shrouded in darkness, couldn't pray, couldn't move, couldn't get up and go to the bathroom on my own, dark, depression, heavy, didn't want anything, didn't want to exist. Somehow in the midst of all that, one day, I'm sitting there in my pathetic mess of human existence, and I heard a voice from the corner of the room. It was the voice of God the Father, and he said, hey, just so you know, I really love you. Huh? This? Yeah, just wanted you to know, I really, really love you. Peace. The voice of God the Father. Life-changing. Have I heard the voice of Mary since? Nope. Do I need to again? Nope. Have I heard the voice of God the Father since? Nope. I talk to his son now every day, Jesus. Do my best to hear his voice and to have access to his unbridled power over sin, death, and the enemy. Folks, when have we heard his voice? When have we experienced his power? We have these little healing services here every once in a while. Just little glimpses of his extraordinary power to be reminded he is all powerful. But if we aren't looking for it, if we aren't asking, if we're not listening, the devil wins. You have heard his voice. You have experienced his power. Maybe it was that little voice when you first saw your future spouse and went, there's the one. If it's been hard since, that's your problem. Not God's. Maybe that was it. Maybe that was your God moment. And some of us get one, and that lasts a lifetime. Some of us get boatloads of them. That's up to Jesus and not us. We just have to listen and look for it. When have I heard his voice? Because you have. And I have. And he's just getting started. When have I experienced his power? His power over something in my life. We've got to look for those, acknowledge them, delight in them, and ask for more. Jesus? Okay, here's homework number 2. After you talk about that and delight in the extraordinary ability to have a direct conversation with the living creator of the universe, and after having shared the extraordinary things he's done, then we're going to start begging, right? Jesus, I need your power right here in this thing, this cancer, this mental thing right now, this anxiety, this situation in my life, a financial or whatever it is, I need your power right now, please. And I know you won't necessarily, you're not a genie in a bottle, so you're not going to, I know this, Jesus, you're not just going to go, and it's going to be done. I'm going to ask again tomorrow, but you're going to know that I believe in your power, and I'm asking. Or this thing in my family, or this thing for my child who hasn't been to church for a gajillion years. Your power, okay? And I'm going to ask every day until you do it, because you're a good God, and I'm going to beg, and you're going to do it. That's expectant faith. That's what moves mountains. So we have to do that. All right, Lord, I know I've talked enough. He sends the bells. It's time for me to shut up. What is the transfiguration? What the heck does it have to do with me? Everything. There's your homework. Jesus, thank you. We need your power. We need it now. So many aspects of our life. Help us to be good beggars, to be good disciples, to be good friends of yours. Thank you.